Welcome to Metacall, episode 214. I'm Corey, and here's Daryl.
Yo.
Hey, man. I wasn't expecting that we'd get done reviewing this spoiler season for a set and then, like, have a new one on the following week already. But
no,
here we are.
No, you didn't expect that? I thoroughly did.
I mean, it's just how WotC rolls these days. But we've got the Time Spiral Remastered coming out in March. Now, this is a unique one. This is in paper only remastered set. So this will be the first of probably many. I think that this is going to be a thing that we're going to see lots of after this. But it's definitely exciting that this is something they're trying. My inner modern player is amped to, you know, swap out some of the playable commons and uncommons and rares, for that matter, with the old border versions of those same cards.
I mean, there are things I'm hyped about, like, A, this can cheapen cards that are
too
expensive for various reasons. B, we get some potential new arts. And then, for sure, C, though, if they do these old border things, I think they're only doing this with Time Spiral, because this was a thing in Time Spiral Block where they reprinted some old cards with the old borders.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they will continue to do this, but by God, if they do, I am going to want to just run through walls for them, because these are freaking gorgeous.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get into that today. And because this set has some major aesthetic value, and I think that's a lot of nostalgic value, I think that's the big draw to it for the collectors. And it is in paper, so that's clearly who they're marketing it towards. We'll be focusing our discussion on that. But also, Daryl's got the aforementioned a modern Sultai Snow deck that we've been workshopping a bit, and Daryl's done quite a bit of testing and tuning on that list, and so we'll absolutely be talking about that. Inspired by Jorn, yes?
Yes. We have been inspired by the God of Snow.
Yeah, and this one's a doozy. I'm excited about this one. So I'm excited to see where you've taken this, Daryl, because the last iteration of it looks really sweet. It's definitely my cup of tea. But before we get to any of that, we have to say our wonderful sponsor is ManaTraders.com. Use the promo code CardKnockLifePodcast, all one word, at checkout for 14% off your subscription for the first 3 months. ManaTraders.com is your leading source of MTG rental on MTGO. You can use it to rent the Kaldheim cards at this point, I do believe. And many of you know, if you play any MTGO, many of those cards are a damn arm and a leg. In their first few weeks, the availability is quite low, with Arena drawing a lot of the draft attention to that platform. So acquiring those pieces for constructed purposes is awfully tough. So thank God for ManaTraders. Use the promo code CardKnockLifePodcast, all one word, for 14% off. And then you don't have to worry about that. But where should we start, Daryl? What do you want to look at? Should we look at this Time Spiral set before we get into the deck?
Yeah, I figure we'll just close on the deck and do the Time Spiral set first. I know the big draw to me for this is the time-shifted cards, but I kind of just want to look through, and I'm going to glance through what's already been spoiled this far on Mythic Spoiler and just kind of point out nice reprints for various reasons.
Yeah, hold tight. One sec before you do. We just got to, like, explain what this set is, because I think there's plenty of people that aren't aware. I think that we have a lot of Arena only players. I'm going to have you do that. But if you're not sure of what Time Spiral Remastered is, there's, like, this is new. This is a whole new concept. Time Spiral Block was released in 2006 through 2007. It includes Time Spiral, Planar Chaos, and Feature Site. So this is like a curated pick, like, list of, like, a lot of the cards that come from those sets, like a lot of the featured cards from those sets. Some hits like the Pacts and Tarmogoyf and things like that appeared in those. But there was one set in particular, Time Spiral, like the namesake, that included cards that were printed in previous sets in old border with a purple set symbol that basically were like this list of cards that would be included in an additional slot, so it wouldn't it would be possible to get like a second rare in your pack, and they were like all classic MTG cards. So it was a really nice little gimmick that was included in the set. You could put them in your draft decks. And so it was kind of fun to like.
They were also standard legal, I think.
Standard legal, yeah. So it was really unique. And they've brought that back with an entirely new list of 121, I believe. Yep, 121 time shifted cards from outside the set
121.
and outside of time. Yeah, one hundred
Oh my
twenty-one.
God, that's so many, because I'm looking at what's on this page and that's not 121 yet. At
Yeah,
least it doesn't look like 121.
there are still more to come. Now, these include
Holy cow.
all rarities, commons, uncommons, rares, and mythics, but they are all equally rare in the set because they're all this purple rarity, this time shifted rarity. So they don't take up the rare slot in this set as well. You can still get a rare in your pack, and then there's a chance to get yet another rare or mythic
Yeah.
that's time shifted.
You
So it was
will
good.
get a rare, and then you will get a time shifted card.
Yeah, rare or
Who
mythic.
knows what that can be? Yeah.
Now
Rare or mythic. Like normal pack plus time shifted card.
the bummer is like, yeah, that time shifted card could be a common, but the good news is like all at least most of the commons that they've selected to be part of that list are commons that are playable. So
Yeah,
there
the
are
time
lots
shifted
of
card.
really nice commons that like if you're playing commons in like a modern deck that don't have options like promo options, like this is the next best thing or maybe even a better thing depending on what your preference is. And I'm thinking of cards like Thraven Inspector like sees some play. Gurmag Angler is a big one, and it's like that's a
Elvish
great
Mystic.
card. Elvish Mystic, yeah, that's a great card to get in old border. So it's really not too big of a damper to like, pull a common Treasure Cruise, for example, when it's like this old border is going to be really sought after, and people are going to want play sets of those. So go ahead and say your piece. I want to just get that out there before we got into what was in the set.
Oh, I was just scrolling through, gonna check out like kind of the hits that were reprinted that see a lot of play. In or are rather expensive. The packs have been reprinted. Tarmogoyf Slivers, which were a big part of
Yeah, slivers.
that block.
Always
Sliver.
expensive, probably because of EDH, right?
Yes, EDH and casual. Magus of the Moon
Yep.
in red. Let's see.
Damnation is a big one.
Yep, haven't gotten to black yet. I'm just kind of scrolling. Nice little pickups like Rift Bolt, Grapeshot reprinted. Simian Spirit Guy got some nice art. Unfortunately, it got banned. But the art is very nice. But yeah, some nice EDH cards like Sudden Spoiling. Damnation is just a good modern card.
Is Living End
Extirpate.
worth anything?
I don't know if it is anymore, but
Maybe a couple
some nice
bucks.
graveyard hate cards, Extirpate, Nyxalid Jailer.
Yeah.
Neo cards, nothing looking. Ancestral Visions, nice printing there. Nothing else looking particularly exciting. Because Teferi ain't $1 million no more. New Logic Knot and Delay Arts, if you play those cards. New Avon Mind Censor, old art, new border, which is kind of cool. New art on Mangara, the Corondor.
Yeah, Mangara of Corondor.
Porphyry Nodes and Manitithe, new border, same art. And that's really it as far as what we know of right now that kind of jumps out to me. Let's talk about these time shifted cards because they're
So
the cool.
before we go on from that, Lotus Bloom is another one too that's worth noting. That's the artifact.
Yeah.
And that also happens to be the box topper when you buy the set. But in the set at this point, there's quite a few cards that have gotten new art. So when we're talking about like the aesthetic appeal, like there's a lot of like collectors looking at like what is unique in this set that is going to be like picking up some value, or is like for me, I'm looking at like replacing like I have a pretty sizable collection. I don't need Magus of the Moon, for example. But if this art is better, I'm interested in like swapping it out. So
I think the art is way better.
there are a couple of cases here, and I'm just going to list off a few of them that have new art coming out of this set. And there's a couple of big ones, a couple of important ones. Magus of the Moon is one, obviously, and you like it better, Daryl?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, yeah, it's cool. It's hard to say. I think this one would be really sweet in foil because it's got a very very giant blood moon in the background of it, and yeah, it's the human wizard standing on like a rock, basically casting something or other. So
Yeah.
that's neat. Street Wraith is awesome. So Street Wraith, I do like my old school Street Wraith with the future shifted borders, but this one, the art is very cool. This art is from nothing that I've ever seen before. Is that true to you as well. I don't think this has been used for anything.
Oh, that's the missing square. There's a missing square on Mythic Spoiler. It's Street Wraith.
Yeah, Street Wraith is getting a new art. It looks like an old school. It reminds me of like Prophecy art or something. Or Prophecy or Nemesis era magic.
Baller.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's got the new border frame. So that's one that sees quite a bit of play in Modern and like Death Shadow decks, obviously. So that one is going to be interesting to those players. Hilariously, ironically, Simeon Spirit Guide, as Daryl mentioned, is getting new art. People have compared this one. It looks like Thanos, like getting snapped. And it's funny that not only Simeon Spirit Guide is getting new art, but so is Angel's Grace, which is a pretty crucial piece to Ad Nauseam, a deck that is pretty well affected by the Simeon Spirit Guide banning in Modern.
It's dead.
So I don't think either of those two pieces are really going to see the light of day after this, at least in Modern. But the Angel's Grace art is really cool, and the Simeon Spirit Guide art is way better than the old one, I think, but unfortunately it's shitty. It's dead. Logic Knot is a big one for me. That card sees a lot of play in Modern Control. This one's getting new art. I like this better. I don't know about you.
Yeah, this art's dope.
Yeah, was it Logic Knot a common or an uncommon?
I think it was an uncommon.
Okay. Yeah, so this is a common now. I don't know if that means anything for Pauper. Maybe it was a common.
I feel like it has to be a common. Yeah, you're right. Delay also with new art. I didn't like the weird Delay art. I think this one's cooler.
But does Delay see play in Modern? I haven't really seen it much, but
it picked up really high when Teferi Time Raveler got printed because people were like, oh, you counter it, you put it in suspend, you play Teferi, they can't cast it. Boom, 2-mana counter spell.
Yeah.
People were really high on that for a while, but I don't think it's particularly good, but it has seen play in previous.
Yeah. And then there's a couple more, but the last one I want to talk about is just Mangara of Karandor. And this is kind of an oddball one. This is 1WW for a 1/1 human wizard, legendary creature. Tap, exile Mangara of Karandor, and target permanent. So this is kind of a fancy little thing you can do in Legacy with this and what's the land? The white
Caracas,
thank you. Because the exile Mangara of Karandor is on the left side or on the right side of the colon. So you can tap it to target the permanent, bounce it before it, you know, the effect resolves and get it back in your hand before it has to exile itself.
You can also, if you actually want to do this in Modern, you can hit it with Flicker Wisp or Eldrazi Displacer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because you can activate the ability the same way and then blink it, and that works the same way.
Doesn't see a ton of play in either format, but it's a card that could and occasionally does.
It used to be a huge Death and Taxes staple, but they printed so many just good, powerful white creatures in the past few years that it's kind of fallen out of favor. But that was actually originally why Death and Taxes got its name, because it was inevitable that they would assemble Mangara plus Caracas and just exile all of your everything.
Yeah.
With Isle. So, yeah, that was kind of why it was called Death and Taxes originally.
Yeah. Yeah, some people might be interested to know that also Miri the Cursed is getting new art. I don't know if that card like is a commander or something, but that's new art.
People play it occasionally as a commander. Like, it's a nice Voltron commander, but...
And then there's some like kind of weird commons and uncommons, like Storm Entity's getting new art. That card doesn't really see play as far as I know. I don't know. I don't think anything else is really worth noting at this point that I've seen come out. So we can move on to the time shifted cards. Now, I will say, Daryl, I sprung this on you a little bit. I have made myself a list, my top 10 time shifted cards. And for no reason other than it was fun to do. My opinion doesn't matter.
It's just like top 10 like the best or top 10 like Corey is going to buy these time
shifted. These are the ones I'm most excited to see. Now, for various reasons, and I'll explain why as I go through my list, but you just run us down what you're seeing first.
I mean, what jumps out to me, things that are just really cool that I like play in EDH or whatever that I'm excited about. Eternal Witness is a nice one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like the Kiki Jiki. This is a very nice one. I'm just gonna keep scrolling here. Oh, Thoughtseize.
Did you also know that these get the when they get the foil treatment, they get the old school swoop on the bottom, the little Watsy?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, oh man.
Yeah, these are gonna be baller. Thoughtseize.
Yeah, Thoughtseize is awesome.
Fan of that one. Mold Drifter. Mystic Confluence. Path to Exile. Flicker Wisp. Containment Priest. Palace Jailer. Those are kind of the ones that stand out to me as like ones I really want. Mystic Confluence being another one, but those are the ones that jump out to me as like I want those very badly. But yeah, what is your top 10, Corey? Hit me with some top 10 that you like.
Okay, well, let me just first say that this is a matter of preference, and like it's some people could be really off put by your deck looking like really funky with some of these old school cards in there, but I'm the type that like wants to like have like all of the like premium versions of all the cards, and I would consider these to be the premium versions of a lot of these cards, especially when a lot of them don't have like otherwise promo treatment. Now, Eternal Witness is a card I play a lot. Like I love me some Eternal Witness, but that's a card that has like two, three, maybe three options for promos already. So it's kind of like, I don't really need this one, you know? But if I otherwise have a deck that's old, it's kind of like I can make it look really old.
Yeah. I but, like old border. I like original printings. Like those are kind of my deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, this Eternal Witness speaks to me in that way.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, okay, there are a couple of these, though, that I'm super excited about specifically because they don't have other options. And it's like, this is great because I've been longing for the ability to play like a unique version of this card that's not just like the average Joe, you know, option. And I know that seems stupid, but that's how my brain works. So here's my top 10 list. You ready for this? Number 10, Lingering Souls, one of my all-time favorite cards, right? But check this out. Yeah. Lingering Souls gets so old school that it has the gravestone symbol next to its name because it's got flashback. So that was when they originally introduced flashback. Oh. They did that. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, badass. That's cool. I didn't notice that actually.
Yeah. Now notably, most of these cards were printed before the old, or they were printed after the old border was retired. So like Lingering Souls is one that never like was in old border. So yeah, this is the first time you're seeing it like
all of these are designed that way.
All of them are? Okay. I didn't notice that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's the point. You wouldn't print an old border version of a card that has an old border version.
Oh, that's fair. Was that, but weren't there, like in the original Time Spiral set, weren't there a lot of them that were?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, never mind.
Time Spiral was newer border.
Okay. All right. Here, my number 9, Remand. I think this Remand just looks really sweet. I don't know what it is about it. It's just like the simplicity of that card. It just feels like it could be like one of the cards that was printed in an older set. You know, it just feels like a 2-mana counter spell that they would have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. My number 8, Dismember. And this Dismember is using the promo art as well, so that's really sweet. But Phyrexian mana, it's really sweet. That's a sideboard card, so like you can only like you can get like just a couple of them, and it'll satisfy your needs. Now this one is also like $4 or $5, so it's a good option to acquire some cheaper copies if that does something in price. My number 7, Anger of the Gods, for similar reasons, also a sideboard card, but oh boy, this would look sweet in foil, wouldn't it?
Oh, dude, this would look amazing. This looks just amazing as a card.
Yeah. Number 6, Courser of Kruphix. Oh baby, this is one of my favorites of all time.
Courser does have a promo version, but
it's ugly.
I like the not having the like enchantment weird scattery border or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Oh, so that's like what it is. This. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's why I like this. I didn't know. You're damn right. Yep. Courser Kruphix is sweet. My number 5, I put 2 in one slot here because they're kind of the same to me, and it's because I can't play either of them, but I like the cards. Treasure Cruise and Ponder. They both seem like they belong in this set, in that they're like, yeah, they're like eternal cards or like EDH cards, you know? In their commons that are just like so old school and just so powerful that they're like, yeah, that seems right.
Yeah.
4, this one is up there. Gurmag Angler, this is what I was talking about when I'm talking about a card that like needed this kind of treatment so badly, because I was just so tired of using this like this average Joe's common in this deck, and it like happens to be a really freaking powerful card in Death Shadow, but it's like I just felt like such a chump like playing this common, this draft chaff on in my expensive Death Shadow deck, you know what I mean? But I didn't want to like spring for the foil ones.
Yeah.
So I think
making fun of the plebes.
Well, I'm not making fun of the plebes. I was a plebe. I am a plebe. But it just seemed like something nicer belonged in that spot, because it was kind of like the centerpiece of that deck. It was like that's how you won in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And now you're getting a new Street Wraith to go with it. And there's also Tassiger in this bunch as well. So you could get the whole set of your Delve dudes, you know, like that. Number three, same reason here, Young Pyromancer. That's a card that has been desperately needing some promo treatment, yeah. Some alternate art.
Yeah, I saw this and I was like, well, that's Corey. Corey yeah. loves that.
That's my boy right there.
Yeah.
And this one just feels like it belongs like that too, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely very powerful, but you know, they made some mistakes back then, and this looks like one of those types of cards that was like, eh, what were they thinking? this is like going back to Alpha, like, what were they thinking?
Yeah, I think all those like two mana power creatures kind of deserve that treatment, like Tarmogoyf,
yeah,
Young Pyromancer, Snapcaster, Bob. Like they've done it to Bob, they've done it to Young Pyromancer now. We're just kinda waiting on like Snapcaster Stoneforge.
Yeah. My number two, Palace Jailer. Oh boy, this guy is an all-star in freaking Commander, and yeah, it's just, what, it's an uncommon or a common or something? This guy's insane. This is like one of the most powerful white cards you can play in Commander. It's just like, it was the same thing as Grimmog. It's like, this guy deserves better than this, like, it's just being this average common. So this is a little better, but yeah, this one needs a promo for sure.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Chalice of the Void is my top one here, and I think that four of those Chalice of the Voids is gonna look real nice in Etron.
Yeah, the mono brown chalice.
Yeah,
the silver ones.
This is gonna be a chase card right here. I think that chalice, those old border chalice. I think those vintage players and legacy players that are interested in those cards are gonna be after this one.
Well, it's a good thing that vintage players only need one. So.
Oh, is it restricted?
Yeah. It's restricted. It's. Whoa, chalice on zero, kill all your moxen. Yeah,
well, you should be able to do that. then everyone could do it. Just be like, are you or are you not? Are you one of those guys or are these guys? You know, it's like flip a coin. Like, which kind of deck are you playing? You know, it's one of the two.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's my top 10, and it has no consequence at all. I'd have liked to include Restoration Angel because I love that card. Also, like Path to Exile. Both of those have quite a bit of foils and promos and stuff. I have way too many damn path promos. I'm just like, I'm checked out. The well is dry on paths.
You just over path?
I am. Yeah, I've like, man, I just can't do it anymore. I have like two full play sets of path promos, and I like hardly even play path anymore because white cards aren't good enough in modern.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I love me some white cards. They are not good enough. But yeah, no, I love these old border cards. I can't wait to see what else. There's 121 of them. I can't wait to see what they all are, because I'm sure there will be ones that I'm just like, I want one of those and three of those and two of those. And I'm going to bet. I'm not going to say that. It seems like a perfect place to do it, but I'm going to say it. It seems like a perfect place to do Zendikar fetches.
Oh, I don't think we're going to get that. I don't know, man.
Old border Zendikar fetches. Whew.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. That's I mean, you know what? Honestly, that would really sell this set, because I don't think that like Time Spiral really has enough to like push sales on its own right now, because like Tarmogoyf would have been a big draw, but they've reprinted the shit out of Tarmogoyf, and like it's not even good enough anymore. It really like is just mediocre in modern these days.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you look beyond that in the set, there's, like, a few cards that are, like, valuable, but they're really niche. Like, Glittering Wish, you know, like we've talked about it, like Damnation, but they've all showed up in so many of the master sets that it's like, why would you bother with this? And then just roll the dice and get like, you know, get like reiterates and stuff at rare, a Chroma Angel of Fury. But I guess the reason is because you get these time shifted cards.
Yep, that's pretty much the draw, is the time shifted cards.
So I don't know. There's a lot of value in these time shifted cards so far, but yeah, I think something like a fetch land or something would really put it over the edge. And I'm not sure if it's necessary yet.
We'll find out.
So. All right, shall we talk about your deck, Daryl? All
right. I mean, we can talk about Snow. I'm here for it. I'll go down the deck list, and you can feel free to ask kind of whatever questions you feel are necessary. Okay. So I'll start with all the lands. I decided not to play Shocklands in the deck, and kind of saw the deck as in the early iterations. So I'll kind of talk through the iterations. I started with like a Liliana discard Verasco Golgari Queen style deck, where you could discard your cards and then use the backside of Jorn, which is Cauldron the Rhyme Staff, to bring back your snow permanents and like play your lands out of your graveyard or do things like that, or sacrifice them to Nebraska and then play them out of your graveyard. And then I kind of went towards a blue shell, which is kind of the shell I'm going through right now. But one of the biggest draws I felt to the deck was Dead of Winter, which is 2 and a black for a sorcery. All non-snow creatures get -X/-X to end of turn, where X is the number of snow permanents you control. I made all my non-fetch lands snow lands, so you functionally have Toxic Deluge. I've not struggled to kill Tarmogoyf with it on 3 mana, and it's killed pretty much any and everything I've asked for it to kill. It even led me to a game where I won with a Verasca Emblem, because I made it a Verasca Emblem. I flashed in an Icefang Kotal and cast Dead of Winter to kill 6 Lingering Soul tokens and leave my Icefang Kotal alive to attack with the Verasca Emblem to deal player death touch damage to a person who was like 30 life. It was quite nice. But I went with 2 of each of the new snow-covered dual lands. So they're snow lands with basic land types, they're commons, and then they enter the battlefield tapped. 8 fetches, all blue, so 4 Misty, 4 Polluted Delta. 2 Scrying Sheets, which is a snow land that acts a colorless, or you pay 1 and a snow. Look at the top card of your library. If it's snow, you can reveal it and put it in your hand. And then 7 snow-covered basics, 4 Island, 2 Swamp, and 1 Forest. And we ended up with 4 Island because we're playing Archmage's Charm and Cryptic Command, so we kind of went heavy on the blue. As far as Scrying Sheets goes, you have the 6 duels, the 7 basics, and then 7-10 other snow permanents. So you have 23 snow permanents. So it's about the same as like the number of snow permanents that was played in Scred.
Scred Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking it was more.
Because it's less because of the number of fetch lands you're playing.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you decided not to play fetch lands and just played a bunch of duels and basics, like you could get away with just having like 30 snow permanents. Yeah. And it was more in previous iterations of the deck because I was playing Auron Viper as well, which is 1 green for a 1/3 snake. That when it deals damage to your opponent, you can draw a card, and when it deals damage to a creature, destroy that creature at the end of combat. So I was playing 4 Auron Viper, 4 Jorn, 4 Icefang Kotal, and then the lands, it was like, and 4 Meritlegious Slumber, so it was like 30-ish snow permanents. But I kind of dialed it back a little bit.
But the difference between this and Scred, even if the number is similar, it's like the value of the hits is way different when many of them are non-land permanents, where Scred is like mostly basics. Basic lands.
It's all basics. It's all basic lands and then like some more Scrying Sheets or Mouth of Ronam. Whereas for this deck, you're getting cards that draw you cards, or you're getting Jorn, which untaps your lands to like let you have double mana, or Cauldron the Rhyme Staff to like refresh your Icefang Kotals, and then Meritlegious Slumber. I'm playing 3 of that card. So on the spells, we have 4 Fatal Push, 3 Meritlegious Slumber, which is a legendary snow enchantment. When it or another snow permanent enters the battlefield, scry 1. The beginning of your upkeep, if you have 10 or more snow permanents, sacrifice the enchantment. If you do, make a Meritlage. 2020 flying black avatar, indestructible. 3 Snapcaster, 4 Drown in the Lock, 2 Abrupt Decay, 3 Assassin's Trophy, 4 Icefang Kotal, 3 Archmage's Charm, 3 Dead of Winter, 3 Jorn God of Winter, a Pulse of Murasa, 2 Cryptic Command, and 2 Verasco Golgari Queen. And then in the sideboard, we have two Surgical Correction, two Veil of Summer, an Abrupt Decay, an Assassin's Trophy, two Aether Gust, two Mystical Dispute, a Dead of Winter, a Pulse of Morasa, two Obstinate Bailoff, and a Singleton Engineered Explosives.
Yeah.
So the sideboard is kind of untested, really. I've played a lot of games and just kind of been playing this sideboard. I just like pick really good generic sideboard cards. And so I did that and added some like extra removal and Assassin's Trophy and Abrupt Decay, and then the fourth Dead of Winter and the Engineered Explosives. So like that was kind of, I figured Jund would be big, so I had Veil of Summer and Obstinate Bailoff. I figured that Tron would be big, so you have a total of four Assassin's Trophies, and then you have Surgical. I could see including a Field of Ruin or two with your Pulse of Morasses, but it was just kind of an extra, like a little clunky. I had some fields in my initial build, but they were a little hard to make work. So, especially with three colors, Archmage's Charm and Cryptic Command, it's a little tough to make field work. But questions, Corey, where do you want to lead us?
Let's kind of the deck. Let's do this. Like, so
sure.
We talked about the deck on the last podcast, and it was inspired by Jorn. And Jorn is on the front side. It's one, or it's two green.
Two and a green for a 3/3.
Yeah.
Legendary snow creature god. Whenever Jorn attacks, untap each snow permanent you control. And then on the back, it's Cauldring the Rhyme Staff, one blue black for a legendary snow artifact. Tap. You may play target snow permanent from your graveyard this turn. If you do, it enters the battlefield tapped. So, kind of let's talk about the backside of Jorn, because that's oftentimes Jorn is dependent on what you're playing against. That determines how you use it. If you're playing against a fair deck, you play the backside. If you're playing against an unfair deck, you play the front side. Very frequently, because against unfair decks, you just need creatures to attack them. And having double mana to like play more threats and then untap and have counter spells is very strong. And then against fair decks, more often than not, a 3/3 that's fatal pushable with a fetch land, it's just going to die a lot. So you just play the backside, artifacts are harder to kill, and you have like a card advantage. And we play the one Pulse Morasa because I like played four Jorns, and I always wanted to see Jorn, but drawing multiple Jorns was bad. So it's like I want like 3.5 Jorns. And so Pulse of Morasa is like the flex fourth Jorn of like you draw the first one, it dies, you Pulse of Morasa, get it back, play it as the artifact. If you have like an artifact, like if you have the staff and they kill it and you play another staff, you can cast the front side of Jorn or the back side. You can cast either one. So like that's kind of a thing that you can do too. So it's like that's kind of where all of Jorn's flexibility in the deck. It's also why I went with all snow lands, so that Jorn could untap your duels. Also worth noting, like when you have both Jorn and the staff going, if you play an Ice Fang Coil on your graveyard, it comes to play tapped, and then attacking with Jorn untaps it, so you have a Death Touch blocker.
If you have both Jorn and then the staff in play.
Yeah, you activate the staff, play Ice Fang Coil. Attack with Jorn, the trigger untaps both Jorn and the staff, so you get extra activations on the staff and your Ice Fang Coil is untapped.
Oh yeah, so then you could block and then you could put the Ice Fang Coil into play again. Now it's notable that you could use the staff on your opponent's turn to play the Ice Fang Coil at instant speed.
That is correct. It can't block because it comes to play tapped, but you could leave up your counter magic and have Ice Fang Coil in your graveyard and use the staff to cast it.
Yeah, it's really fancy. Now the most exciting thing when I tested this deck was I like Marilage's Slumber an awful lot. That card I was like I read it and I was like okay, and then as I started like play like a snow basic and I was like oh this thing scries every time I put a snow permanent into play. It's like half of my deck triggers this damn thing. It's pretty cool. No, not half of your deck, I suppose. Maybe about a third.
It was half in the original. It was close to 30 in the original build.
Okay. Well, and then the biggest boon to that is like, okay, so I'm already comparing that to like Search Res Kanta, right? Because it's a 2-mana version of that. And then when you activate it to get a Merit Lage, which happens pretty frequently, honestly, in like grindy games, you can Rhyme Staff it back into play, which is insane. And you just do it all over again.
Yeah, you get a scry, And then if you play basic or land, or vice versa, you get another scry. And then it triggers again on your upkeep to sack itself. And then you can choose to just throw away the new Merit Lage and attack with the old one. I kind of did that. Like, I played a lot of times it gets blue-white control. Like, that ends up being your win condition is you just get Cauldron in play. And you just, like, play Merit Lage, slumber every turn and make a Merit Lage. And you're like, all right, here's Merit Lage. You got a path? Nope. All right, you're dead. You got a path? Here's Merit Lage. You got a path? Oh, okay, cool, you're dead. And you just, like, you path check them every turn. And eventually they just don't have it.
So while there isn't, like, a fetch land that puts itself into the graveyard to just, like, keep being recurred with the Rhyme Staff, like, that's one way to do it, and I know that seems like a pretty long, long con. But
you can't recur fetches.
You can't.
They're not snow.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, if that would be the that would be the nuts if you could, right?
Oh yeah.
But there isn't like a real like obvious way to like cycle through stuff from your graveyard with the Rhyme Staff. But the other one is like Ice Fang Kotal ends up in the yard pretty often because it's functionally like a removal spell when you use it as an ambush viper. So that's one that you're gonna want to be like replaying pretty frequently because it's so killable as a 1/1, and you know you're just like throwing it away constantly. So that works really well with it. Otherwise, it's just, straight up value.
That was kind of the reason I included Vraska Glory Queen and, like, have been kind of back and forth on it, is because you can just plus Vraska and sack your lands, and then if you don't have a land drop, you can just activate the Rhyme Staff and put the land back into play. So, like, that's kind of the synergy there. We talked about how busted this would be if you could do this with...
Astrolabe.
Arkham's Astrolabe, which thankfully that's not a thing. But yeah, the deck would be kind of insane with Arkham's Astrolabe. You could play all of the colors probably. But I've been kind of back and forth on Vraska versus Jace. Like, I haven't actually tested Jace the Mind Sculptor yet, but I feel like it might be a better inclusion because, like, Vraska's minus is better, but Jace's everything else is better.
Yeah.
Like, it's minus three is better, but Jace's, like, plus two, zero, and ultimate are better. So I'm thinking about giving Jace a spin. But really, kind of the MVP of this deck has been Dead of Winter. This deck is extremely hostile to creatures because you have the five Abrupt Decay Assassin's Trophy type effects, four Fatal Push, the Dead of Winters, and four Drown in the Lock. That's kind of a flexible modal counter spell or creature removal spell. I added a few more spot removal spells in the sideboard, but it's like, realistically, I don't think I need an Abrupt Decay Assassin's Trophy and a Dead of Winter. I could probably cut the Abrupt Decay for another card and play the Engineer Explosives, the Dead of Winter, and the Assassin's Trophy and be just fine against creature decks. Like, this deck is very hostile towards creatures. It just needs some help against kind of like burn decks because you need a little more life gain, and then like combo decks. I'm still not really sure. Like, I have a few counter spells in the sideboard and Mystical Dispute and Aether Gust, but like kind of still trying to figure out that direction. But in general, it's like a kind of a more controlling mid range deck that ends up just kind of beating them to death with Ice Fang Kotals and Jorn and Snapcaster, or you make a Merit Lage and just do it that way.
Yeah, Jorn's not offensive as a 3/3 for three. Yeah.
A recurrable 3/3 for three is usually pretty good. I considered playing the Faceless Haven, the 4/3 man land, but more colorless lands and snow, like the 3 mana cost just made it like a little prohibitive of like a thing that could actually fit into the deck.
Yeah, that card is nuts. That card is very good, but yeah, I could see how that could be a problem when you're running like Archmage's Charm and Cryptic Command already, and like you want Scrying Sheets. Like, Scrying Sheets is the MVP here, it seems. It looks like you can only run two of them.
Now, yeah, I can only two. I had two Field of Ruin. I tried two Scrying Sheets. I tried four total of those effects. You can only play two. And Scrying Sheets, just untapping with Jorn and being able to do it twice in a turn cycle is just like very, very good.
Plus, you can scry with Merit Lage's Slumber to set up your Scrying Sheets and put the snow stuff on top and draw it. There's so many pieces of this deck that just like work so well together. It's like it was meant to be.
Yeah, Ice Fang Kotal also with Merit Lage's Slumber, very good because you can set up the draw. You get a shot at setting up the draw. It's like you get to cast an opt on your Ice Fang Kotal instead of
is cool. Yeah, it scries first.
Yeah,
man. If there was just one piece, like maybe it was supposed to be like Arkham's Astrolabe. Like maybe WotC like designed this deck, and Arkham's Astrolabe was like the piece of the puzzle. Like, what is it that like really makes the Rhyme Staff go? And like maybe Ice Fang Caudle is supposed to be enough. But if there's just like one more permanent, like one more snow permanent, or one more way to like efficiently like cycle through your lands or sack your lands or something that you could get them back, your snow land specifically. I think that it would be extremely powerful to just like churn those out, a la like, you know how Emery and like the Bauble can do.
Urza, yeah, Emery Urza stuff. Yeah, I definitely tried to go heavy on snow permanents. I tried the new spirit, the one mana spirit that like levels up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Figure Destiny guy. It's just too much mana to get to the point where it has text that reads draw card.
Oh, okay.
I tried Orion Viper. That card's pretty decent. Like, I wouldn't be offended if you played one or two Orion Vipers in the deck. I've been liking Snapcaster Mage, but Orion Viper is not an offensive card to play. None of the other snow cards really jumped off the page at me as like, oh, this card just needs to be in this deck.
Sure.
If it wasn't permanent, you would probably play like one or two copies of the 5-mana draw 3. The new one out of Kaldheim, because it like scries for the number of snow permanents you control.
Yeah.
And if you could flash that back with the Rhyme Staff, you would definitely play like one or two copies of that card. Another direction, it's Graven Lore is the name of the card. Scry X, and where X is the amount of snow spent to cast this, then draw 3. If it was recurable with the Rhyme Staff, you would 100% play like a copy or two of this. But the other thing I considered trying to do with this deck with the snow was trying to play like a Mouth of Ronom and like whatever other good snow lands existed, and then playing Into the North as a ramp spell. But there just weren't enough like good snow lands that did stuff.
Yeah, or they're like, all colorless, you know?
Yeah, they're all colorless, and so, like, you're kind of, like, stuck on, like, what your colors did. So this is, like, if Astrolabe was a thing, you could play Into the North to go get Mouth of Ronom and Scrying Sheets, and then, like, fix your mana with Astrolabe and be able to cast, like, your Cryptic Commands and stuff like that. The only other, like, potential creature or snow permanent I saw, like Frost Augur, would have been pretty good. It's like Scrying Sheets on a 1/2 creature that you pay less for, but it's a creature, so I was kind of like less excited about it.
Yeah.
And then just Cold Steel Heart, just like good old 2-mana rock, but it just kind of didn't really. It's like Into the North would just be a better version of that, in my right? Mind.
Yeah, because you could get a Scrying Sheets with Into the North. Mouth of Ronom is interesting because it does put itself in the graveyard, but it's so much freaking mana. I've tried that card so many times because it seems so useful in that like there's so many decks that can just tutor up land so easily that are hungry for removal options, and Value Town comes to mind. Like that's a deck that historically just has like no freaking removal. Like it has some paths sometimes, but other than that, it just always has these stalemates. And then like if you've got Knight of the Reliquary, like you can just like tutor up a Mouth of Ronom and like blast through some dudes, and then like maybe cycle through that with the snake Ramunap Excavator. I want that to work here too, where you can just like keep doing that with Cauldron the Rhyme Staff. But for 5 mana to activate, Cauldron it into play, it comes into play tapped. It just seems like a real to-do for a colorless land. So,
yeah, it unfortunately is like this like extreme to-do for a colorless land. Like if it wasn't like that, then like it would be very, very, very good. Like you could probably play like the Glacial Revelation card, which is like the top 6 of your library, and put any number of snow permanents in your hand.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, it's not a snow card, so it's like you don't get the extra free roll.
Oh yeah.
And so like that's where you're trying to figure out like, is there extra snow stuff that you can get the free roll off of, like getting them from your Rhyme Staff or whatever. And the only other one that I really looked at that might potentially be like doable is the Necromancer, the Dragar Necromancer. If a non-token creature opponent controls would die, exile with an ice counter, and you may cast spells from among cards in exile your opponents own with ice counters on them. But I don't know the rules text on this, like if it has to still be in play for you to cast the spell with the ice counter on it, or if it's like, I think it does because it's not worded like Gonti, where Gonti is like you can cast the spell regardless of Gonti's in play. If it's not like Gonti, then this is good because it's a 4/4 that draws you extra cards because you kill your opponent's creatures. But if it's not like Gonti, then it's pretty mediocre. It's like a recurrable 4/4, but like that's not really that exciting. Like, so
Yeah, I think he has to be in play.
yeah, so not particularly exciting there.
Okay. Yeah, that guy's kind of like a bad Kalidus. Yeah, I mean, just
Yeah.
exiling the creatures that die is good, but
Yeah, it might be like a Kalidus, like a thing you can put in your sideboard is like Kalidus effect. Like I was trying to figure out good graveyard hate, and but it has to be dies. It's not just like mills. I think Kalidus gets them. Oh no, Kalidus doesn't get it from anywhere. That's Anafenza. So yeah, maybe it's like just a bad Kalidus that can be triable on sideboard. But I don't think it garners main deck play. So like the only slots I'm really super up in the air about right now are the two Vraskas. Everything else feels, and like the Abrupt Decay Assassin's Trophy split.
Yeah.
Everything else feels pretty good. 23 lands. Just this has been like a really fun deck. It feels like it's got some potential. The issue I've really ran into is just like having enough interaction for non-spell decks, or for like spell decks for non-creature decks, because you have like so much creature removal. Because if you look at Drown the Lock plus Trophy and stuff like that, you have 13 spot removal spells plus three sweepers, plus four Icewind Curl. So like, if you can't beat a creature deck, you drew extremely poorly. But like, you only have like nine counter spells. So like, it's kind of tough game one to like get the ball rolling and figure out like where exactly you interact with them. It's like maybe you play discarding counters, but like that doesn't feel good. So it's like I'm not sure. That's kind of where I'm unsure of, but like this is kind of where I've ended up. It's been pretty fun, pretty solid. I'm gonna keep playing it because I'm enjoying it. But there are definitely some considerations of like how to manage the mana base and like can you afford to play like a couple of non-snow lands to have untapped duels? I think the answer is no because Dead of Winter is so good. Like I've killed so many Tarmogoyfs with it. It's insane. And you can kill 2/3 Tarmogoyfs, up to 2/3 Tarmogoyfs with it on turn three. So like if Tarmogoyf's still a 1/2 and you cast it, it becomes a 2/3. And then like say there are other creatures in play with the Tarmogoyf. Like I did this last night. My opponent had a 1/2 Tarmogoyf and a Grim Flayer. A 2/2 Grim Flayer. And so I cast Dead of Winter on turn three, with three snow lands, and it killed both of them because what happens is it gives all the creatures -3/-3. The Dead of Winter goes to the graveyard, and then state-based effects check simultaneously for all creatures in play. Are the creatures dead? And Tarmogoyf was a -1/0. Grim Flayer was -1/1. They both died, and it was just a clean out on turn three to all of my opponent's creatures.
Nice.
So you kill up to 2/3 Tarmogoyfs with it on turn three, but then when you start to pile in things like Icewind Codal and Merrily Aged Slumber, you're killing like large creatures on turn three, turn four. So it's basically like having a 3-mana Damnation most of the time because your basics are your lands are all snow. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. What are your thoughts, questions?
Yeah, I mean that's awesome. I played the deck a little bit before this iteration, so I'm excited to see it continue to develop, and I'm looking to play it some more myself. But can you send me an updated list in Goldfish or something, and I can post it in the show notes for those that are listening along to catch this and try it
Yeah.
themselves?
Absolutely, I can do that.
Cool. Yeah, well, keep us posted on that, and we'll definitely come back to that.
Hopefully I can get the comfort level with it to just pull the trigger on saying, "All right, let's ship it ship it in the league, get a 5-0, you know.
Yeah, there you go. You get a 5-0, and then we're talking. Then it's real. Just kidding.
Yeah, for now it's fun, and if a 5-0 with it, it'll be kind of real. People will be like, wait, what happened? Yeah. Is someone confused? Were they trying to play standard?
Well, I'm thinking it's time to pick up some Merit Legends slumbers, that's all. Before it's too late.
I mean, if I 5-0 with this, I think Merit Legends slumber might go up just a tiny bit.
It'll go up to 75 cents.
Yeah, people will try it. They'll be like, oh my God, I have to try this.
All right. Well, thanks for listening this week. We'll catch you next week. I'm sure there'll be more Time Spiral Remastered, more old border to talk about. Maybe I'll have to update my top 10 list.
Yeah. I'm sure you will.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarKnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarKnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarKnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading CarKnockLife content.